very pleased for numerous reasons to have Brother Campbell preach tonight. And he and I got to be a little bit of friends in Pensacola a couple years back. And his boys, of course, were friends with a couple of my boys. And I'm not sure if you put it together or not, but this is also Tyler Campbell's dad, the missionary to Scotland. So if you've seen those letters, you may not have put together that he's that Campbell too. So, brother, please come ahead.
All right, good evening. It's been a real blessing to be here so far. It's been a real blessing to be here for the wedding and all that took place with that. I know that with the pastor here, and anytime you have something like that, it's run, 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 and go, go, go. And I think we're all getting just a little bit tired. So I'm going to make this real short so I can remain the preacher's favorite preacher. I'm going to make sure I don't say anything stupid so that I get marked down off that list. This is a rainy day message right here. And it's a message that any preacher will stick in the back of his Bible just in case a preacher pulls a stunt like he did yesterday. So you always have something ready to roll. So I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I hope that I can say something here that'll give you some encouragement when you're preaching to Bible believers who actually read and know their Bible. It's hard to preach sometimes because you know all of it. You've heard all of it. You've read all of it and so on and so forth. But this is always just a real good reminder. You'll see during the message here in just a little bit a good reminder, some things that we need to be reminded of, just like in the message this morning. Things that we really need to be concentrating on. You guys have read the news and seen the news and see where this world is going, and it's actually kind of scary. But I tell you what, when you've got the Lord by your side and you know ahead of time the things are coming, he told you the things were coming, we're going to be living in the times that we're living in. So the best thing you can take along your side is a good relationship with the Lord. And other points that he mentioned this morning, I won't try to recap that because I'll forget half of them. But anyway, it's been a real blessing to be here. I'd have to say that, we've heard of your church and from where we're at in Colorado, and we've known people that come from your church, and we have the Quigleys down at our church just doing a tremendous job, and they come from here. So we thought it was only fair that we sent Jake and Naomi back up here just to kind of balance things out. But it's actually a blessing. We walked in the door, my wife and I were kind of commenting on the fact that we felt at home just as soon as we walked in the door. And the thing is this right here, our home church, we had half of our folks here during the wedding, and so when you come up here and run into your own folks, it makes you feel at home already. And then the other half of folks, our other church is Bible Baptist down in Florida, of course, and we love that place, and we support that place and send all of our kids down there and to go to school, and so we're down there quite a bit, and I walk in the door and I see the other half of them up here. So we just felt, I don't know who all goes to church here, but we seem like we've met everybody. So we've just felt at home since we walked in. And the thing is, if we have the same spirit, we should feel at home wherever we go. And Bible believers share that spirit. You walk into other churches where you missionaries have to go and frequent prior times or whatever, and it's not the same spirit. And you don't feel at home. So I got to tell you what, it's good to be in a place where you have things and you recognize folks and have the same spirit, and we can just come in and relax and just have a good time. This is the first time my hands have been clammy. I don't know that it's weird. You got going on here, humidity and something. And then nervousness on top of that. I got a clammy handshake to the preacher. Like, I've never done that before. But at the same time, we can just, I like that last song we sang with confidence. And I thought, okay, I can do this. I can do this. So anyways, I'm going to get started here so we're not here all night, but turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 46. we're going to read a portion of Scripture where if you're a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary or whatever, when you read your Bible sometimes, the Lord will just slap you in the back of the head and say, stop right there. That's a good portion to preach right there, and you'll be like, which part was that? Well, let me back up and see what you're talking about and recap. And this is one of those portions of Scripture because I'll explain as I get going, but let me just read the portion of Scripture to get us going. Read a few verses to get us kicked off here. Isaiah 46. I'm going to start in verse number 1. The Bible says, Baal boweth down, and Nebo stoppeth. It says, their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. It says, your carriages were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. He says in verse 3, he says, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? They lavish gold out of a bag, and weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him, and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove, yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Let's pray. God, we do thank you again for the day. God, we've had a busy weekend. We thank you for the young couple that got married. Pray your blessing on their lives starting forth. God, we thank you again for all the folks that came up to visit, that had a hand in all the preparations. And God, we just had a lot going on this weekend. So God, I just pray that you help us to just close it all out with just a good encouraging word from you here this evening. And God, I thank you again for just the privilege that it is to be amongst these people. So God, I pray you take over. I pray you preach the word the way you want to. God, I pray you help all my distractions to not be a distraction. But God, I just pray that you help us to maybe get something out of your word here as we close out this day. In Jesus Christ, and we pray. Amen. So as we kind of see, according to this portion of scripture, in the Old Testament, that all the folks, whether it be worldly folks or God's people, were notorious for just up and building idols. And you notice when God has done everything, especially for his people, and then they turn the next corner and build an idol and worship that, just like that. And I don't know about you guys, but that makes me mad when I read portions of scripture like that. I'm going, what is wrong with these people? You know, what would make a person see God and see him move the way he does in a miraculous way and turn the next corner and worship an idol where you know full good and well it can't do anything for you? And it makes me mad. And I would look at those folks and I'd read those portions of scripture and I'd just sit back and fume sometimes like, man, those people tick me off. And that's the Lord said, well, you need to stop right there. And I'm going, well, what do you mean? So because I tell you what, folks, our idols might just be a little bit different than theirs, but we have them. And we build them up inside our heart at just a drop of a whatever where we're not happy. Whenever you don't want to go by God and his rule book and his plan for you, and you want to do something different where it's whatever the case might be, you're following your flesh or this world or some false doctrine or whatever, you're setting up an idol outside of God. And so he told me to slow down right here, so I'm going to preach around that context just a little bit. So I couldn't be so mad at people who were being foolish, and I wanted to focus on myself. And I wanted to focus on my church. And since this is a rainy day message, listen, it wasn't built for you, all right? It wasn't built for you, so you can't get mad at me, all right? If I preach it straightforward and you, man, I think he was talking to me. I'm not talking to you. I was talking to my people, all right? But if you can get something out of it that'll help you to not turn at a moment's notice to worship another God outside of the God we serve in his book, maybe it'll help you out, all right? I'm the kind of preacher that just gets it from God and shoots it straight. You don't know my personality, so it looks like it's a little mean and a little sad face, whatever. I'm not that way. I'm on your side. I want you to know that. So just as you, when you start thinking ugly, I'm on your side. But these are just some things where the Lord kind of brought me into a direction we're going to look at and just see if we can get something out of it. So I know according to this portion of Scripture, I don't think it's all that strange to me when I see this world that we live in serving idols. Listen, this world we live in, they're serving everything, and they are idols, by the way, all right? And you are a spiritual being by creation, and if you're not going to serve God and follow after him and his word and so on and so forth, you will follow after an idol, all right? That's just the way it goes. But it's not strange to me to see this world that we live in following after other gods. That's not strange to me at all. Listen, the God we serve has done no miracles in their lives, done nothing for them at all. They have not seen, if you might say, the mighty power of God move in and through them like we have. They haven't seen that, all right? So it's a no-brainer for me to know that, hey, just to see these folks are here, that with those who are without Christ, that it's no-brainer to see them worship that way, all right? But I got to tell you what, you know, we have, and I mentioned this to my church, but have you ever seen the, just the odd, how do you want to call it, the draw that there is to dead things in the society we live in? In other words, have you ever seen the pictures of bumper stickers, skulls, a dead man's skull? and we got tattoos, you know, and I got one right here, you know, but you got tattoos of dead man's skulls and stuff like that. And you're like, what is the draw to just death? Right. And you see those skulls. And what we do in society today is we even make cartoons, whatever, put eyeballs in them. Right. Or you might even see some of the stickers that you've seen or tattoos that actually have a dead man's skull. That actually has look like it has eyeballs in it, because we try to make something that is dead and worthless to actually mean something. And it doesn't. It doesn't at all. So on the other hand, folks, what does blow my mind is when those who have been delivered or those who have seen the power of God move on their behalf, one minute serve him and the next minute worship some fabricated idol. That does confuse me. All right. That does confuse me a whole lot. So I want to know that. I want you to turn to Exodus 32, and I'm going to give you the, we're going to look at the children of Israel here, because I think they're the perfect example of this in the Old Testament, of kind of what I'm talking about. So we'll kind of rest in Exodus around that area. But I want to read a few portions of Scripture just to get you guys onto the page that we're looking at here. Exodus 32, I'm going to start reading verse number 1. Let's get the story. You guys know it well, but let's just get it fresh on our minds. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, it says, the people gathered themselves together under Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool. He says, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And I don't know about you, but right about there, my blood just starts to boil a little bit. I'm like, are you kidding me? How good God actually was, and this is what you're going to try to pull off. And you guys can see where I start to get a little bit upset at these folks, right? Verse 5, it says, and when Aaron saw it, he said he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offering and brought the peace offering. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for the people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So folks, you guys get this story right here. And we know that just at a moment's notice, they just off of a whim, hey, well, I don't know what happened to this Moses. Hey, up make us a golden calf. And they instantly start to worship it. All right. So this is the story where we're at. But first of all, I want you to notice about the time, if you went back to chapter 32, verse 1, just a side note here before we get going, but about the time you begin to disrespect God, I want you to know that's about the time you're going to disrespect God's man at the same time. So a little bit of a precursor to your relationship to God will be your relationship to your pastor. And I tell you what, we were at a church, there was a revival down, not where our church, but a different place down close by in the Springs. And we were down there for a revival, and half of our church went down there, a bunch of nut jobs in the middle of the week trying to go to church all week long. That's how our church is. But so we're down there, and somebody called me Bob. Now, I don't go by, you can call me Bob. I don't care. My name is Robert. And this is my wife, Becky, over here, by the way. But you can call me Bob, but people who know me and whatever call me Robert. But one of the preachers got a little bit confused and whatever and called me Bob, which works out fine, right? And so I just said, well, hey, you know, so we're having this conversation in the hallway. I said, well, as long as you don't call me Bobby, you know, that's just fine. I said, because my sister is the only one who gets away with calling me Bobby. And everybody else, my family might call me Bob, but everybody in the church or everybody in Colorado that knows me calls me Robert, right? And but I had a church member standing there who was just standing there listening to the whole thing. And she just kind of goes, excuse me. She goes, well, all I know is I just call him Pastor, you know? But I'll tell you what, that said a whole lot. Because there's a lot of people who cannot call their pastor, Pastor. And there's a little bit of a pride issue going on in there. I'll tell you what, at the same time, when you can't call your pastor, give him the respect that he is due, you're just one step away from having that same mentality with God. So I just want to give you a tip to be careful there. But also I noticed there was very little time between Moses being gone till the change in heart took place. Oh, and I know that, as when I was talking about Moses, because the scripture says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, it says the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, excuse me, up make us gods which shall go before us. And it says right here, it says, for as for this Moses, do you guys get the tone? All right, it's, you know, and as for this, right, that's where they start to disrespect him. All right, so like I said, but it goes hand in hand to their relationship with Lord. But anyway, carrying on, I also noticed that there was very little time between Moses being gone till the change of heart took place. And you guys better know, you need your pastor. All right, I think that it wasn't his design to pastor this church; it was God's design. And he said, and I'll give you pastors and teachers and so on and so forth. And that's a blessing to you as a man to follow. But about the time he doesn't lead the way you want him to or direct the way you want him to, and you start to disrespect him, whatever, you're well on your way to just building an idol inside your heart. Amen. So notice after they made the golden calf, that they made the claim that this idol was the very reason for their deliverance. And folks, I got to tell you what, is that not twisted thinking or what? That is completely twisted thinking, all right? They up and made this idol. Now listen, they said, this is the idol that brought us out of the land of Egypt. Now you built this thing today. You already came out. But that's what delivered you. See, that's the twisted thinking that we get into. And I tell you what, they thought nothing of it. They thought nothing of it. It was just, yep, that's what happened. And this is our God that brought us out of the land of Egypt and thought nothing of it. And folks, I got to tell you what, when you start to set up an idol in your heart, your thinking gets twisted. And you will think you're right, and you will convince others that you're right, and you will tell others and sow discord and do other because you're right. When I tell you what, you better go back and get your pastor behind closed doors somewhere and tell him, hey, well, this is my thinking, am I right? And then get back on track, amen? Because that's just the way that works. When I read of events like this one right here, When I read events like this, one can clearly see that this golden calf did not just miraculously deliver these folks here, all right. But I start to get a little furious when I start to read some of it, and I start to see just how quick that can take place. So I want to give you some more examples. Let's take a quick look down at Exodus chapter 14. I want to show you something. Because we're looking at right now, they're following this golden calf and giving all the credit to it, when just a few chapters earlier, in Exodus chapter 14, verse 29, let's see what's going on here. It says, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. Now, you know, God works in a miraculous way. He's leading them out of the land of Egypt, right? They come up to the Red Sea. He parts the Red Sea. And when you guys read those miracles, do you just kind of read through it or just, okay, you part, you know, we know, and the water, yeah, because we know our doctrine so well that you just kind of skip through it when you read it? Or do you just kind of slow down and go, wait a minute, let me try to see what was taking place when that miracle took place? Because, let's just kind of read it. And let's just kind of read it that way. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And that's pretty miraculous. The sea was huge. And he said he built walls of water up like this. And they walked through on dry land. Do you not think at that time right there, they would go, wow, God is miraculous. And he is doing something for us right now. All right? It says, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel, here's what, Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Verse 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So folks, I got to tell you what, has there ever been a time in your life when you experienced something like that? I mean, okay, so you're going fishing, and you know you want to fish on the other side, and you're trying to think, and the Lord just, whew, the water, and you walk across dry land, you go over there, and then when it comes back, you cast on the, you know, and just keep on trucking like it was nothing, right? Have you ever experienced something like that? Folks, I got to tell you this. They haven't either, all right? They haven't either. This was not a normal, ordinary, everyday event of life that took place in their life. They, in other words, what I'm trying to say is they knew God worked in a miraculous way to help them that day. All right, there was no doubt in their mind. And it was a miracle to them, and it was miraculous to them. All right, so we can see what was taking place. But then just a few short chapters later, it's the golden calf that delivered them, and up and worship that. Can you see how quick that is? One thing I noticed about this group of individuals is this right here. They were ordinary people. They had 10 fingers, probably the majority of them. You read some folks that had something weird going on. 10 toes, they had hands, and they had a brain. They weren't using it, but they had one. But they were ordinary people, all right? Listen, they were just people, all right? They had a flesh. They had a spirit. They had all the things that we have. They had, all right? They were just ordinary people. One thing I noticed about this gathering that we have here today is this right here. You're just ordinary people. So what's the difference? What was the difference between those morons back there and us today? Nothing. Nothing at all. Now, I'm not calling you guys morons because I'm still trying to be on his favorite list. But listen, I am trying to say there's no difference between those folks and the way they wanted to worship and what they decided to do in their minds and up and build this calf and worship it outside of God when they saw him work. And there's no difference in them. And there's no difference between you and I. That just causes us to go, ooh, I need to pay attention as to what I'm doing. Amen. We all need to pay attention because I tell you what, this example could be you yesterday and something else tomorrow. Amen. So they were just like us. What was possible for them, I would say, is more possible for us. Like I said, when was the last time you saw the water parted like they saw? They walked through that and saw that. And physically saw with their eyes what God did to the Egyptian, their dead on the shore, and swallowed them up in the water and the dry land. They saw all of that. And I guarantee you they remember all of that. So I say it's easier for you and I because I haven't seen that. Preacher was talking to him this morning. I liked his message this morning. He said, when he prays, it's labor. It's just, you don't hear voices. I don't either. I thought, whew, I'm glad I met somebody else that doesn't, because I tell you, and I'm like, man, is it just me when I pray? Am I supposed to hear lightning strike or do things and stuff move around? I don't, right? So that's what we get, right? But they got miraculous stuff happening in front of them. So here, we don't get none of that. So I'd always said it's a whole lot easier for us to move into move away from God quicker than what they did, and theirs was pretty fast, all right? So I want to take a quick look at that's a Baptist term for, I'm going to take as long as I want to, but it sounds like I'm not. Take a quick look at I want to look at three things here real quick that allow me to share with you three things about these idols that I want to look at. Because first of all, we see that, okay, all through the Old Testament, there are people are serving these idols all over. And God is constantly going to his people going, will you serve me and not false idols? And will you come to me? He's always trying to draw them away from serving false idols, right? So let's take a look at why is it that people turn to idols so fast, right? Why is it that you and I will turn to idols so fast? Now listen, hopefully you won't erect a golden calf because the pastor probably can want to burn your house down and whatever. But you'll build them in your heart so fast and maybe nobody can see them, but you got them in there, all right? But what's so appealing about these idols that we need to know before we close out here? And I'm going to go through them real quick. Point number one is this right here, looking at these idols and why it's so appealing to go to these idols instead of just serving God the way he wants you to do. Follow his book. Sometimes it's tough, but I'll tell you what, when you get in the habit of doing it, it's not that tough. but these idols are always there. So let's see what's so appealing to them. So point number one, they are never demanding, all right? They are never demanding. An idol, listen to me, folks, an idol will never demand a thing from you. You like that. You like that, right? An idol will never demand anything from you. Hey, listen, here's like this right here. You can worship how you please. You want to know what your idol's going to say about it? You can worship how you please. Hey, listen, you can worship when you please. Your idol. Listen, folks, you can worship if you please. Yeah. And your idol will do this right here. Just look as dumb as my face looks right now. It's not going to tell you nothing. It's not going to demand anything from. It's not going to demand you to stop doing that. It's not going to demand you to start doing this. It's not going to demand anything from you. And I tell you what, mankind today likes that. All right? Mankind today doesn't like to be told what to do. Mankind today doesn't like to be directed or redirected or given some counsel or instructions. In fact, the way you're going is wrong. We don't like that. You want to know how I know? Because there's empty chairs in our churches today. There's empty chairs in our Bible-believing churches today. Right? Why? Because people don't want to come and listen to be counsel from God's word, from the preacher, telling it, shooting it just as straight. This is what God expects of you. They don't want to hear that. That's why it's so appealing to go serve an idol, because your idols, they're not demanding. They won't demand anything from you. While God, on the other hand, I got to tell you what, folks, God, on the other hand, is extremely demanding. I know couple verses. I just got John 15:14. You have to turn, but it says this right here. It says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. What kind of friend is that? You're going to do what I command you to do. Okay? All right, now we can be friends. I'm Robert. You know, hey. Okay. You see what I'm saying? That's pretty demanding. And there's no, well, unless you want to try. No. If you want to be his friend, you do what I tell you. Well, that's pretty demanding, don't you think? Jeremiah says like this right here in chapter 1, verse 7. He says, but the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child. Right? And let's see what he says. He says, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Well, that's pretty cut and dry. But Jeremiah's like, man, first of all, the Lord's kind of, he's coming along, telling him to grow up, stop with your excuses. Right? Hey, don't even try to pull this mess off like you're a child, or I'm shy, or I can't go out and do this because it's not my personality, or I'm not qualified. Stop that. All right? So the Lord tells him to stop that, and he says, for thou shalt go to all that I say. What happened to where I want to go? What happened to my input on that? Right? Lord said, I didn't ask for your input. Go where I told you to go. And then not only that, but you say what I tell you to say. Well, I mean, I've kind of got some stuff inside me. We're talking about some folks getting a little off track this morning, thinking they got some things to add to his word, and you got to be careful, right? But at the same time, God says, go where I tell you to go and say what I tell you to say. And he might have said it just like that. You know, well, that's kind of demanding. He didn't even ask for my opinion on the matter. Folks, I just got to tell you, God, and listen, we can spend the rest of this evening and the next five Sundays of going over scripture, real scripture, to show you how demanding God is. And he don't care about what you say, what you feel, how you think, or whatever. Just do it like that. All right? So I tell you what, that's why idols are so appealing, because they will never demand a first thing from you. We like that. We like that. I want to read, you can turn if you want to, Hebrews chapter 10. Starting verse 25, because I want to read you just a little example of what I'm trying to say. Hebrews 10:25. We understand the doctrine of Hebrews and where this is coming from. But Hebrews 10:25, a couple of verses, says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. Now, folks, the context around this is their assembling. It's church, right? Bringing themselves together, right? And it's in the book of Hebrews, so this is later to come, but the emphasis is still God's mindset. I like to look at God's mindset in the Old Testament, maybe beyond the New Testament, and then just some, because God's mindset doesn't change. All right. If it's his personality, in other words, if God wants you to be in church, he's not going to care. Well, I wanted you guys to always be in church, but the next generation, I could care less if they. No, it's you, he wants you to be in church. And so he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And I got to tell you what, that's pretty demanding. Don't do it. Don't forsake it. Listen, he says, from doing your own pleasure on his holy day, so all this other stuff, he says, stop that. You gather, right? And I got to say, I like it when he says not forsake. He didn't say not forsaking church. He didn't say Sunday morning worship or Wednesday night Bible study. He said the assembling. If the doors are open and you're gathering, that's an assembly, you know. And God said you need to be there. Because we'll come up with, we'll ask our idol, hey, idol, do I need to go Sunday night? Because it's been a long day anyway. I mean, we've had a hard weekend, and I mean, really, and you know, I got to work tomorrow. I got to work early in the morning too, by the way. And you know, so do I have to go there? And your idol's going to go, and you're going to think, he said, yeah, you don't have to. You can do whatever you want to. You see what I'm saying? And but God comes along and says, no. When the doors are open, you be in your chair, right? But that's not just his mentality in Hebrews, because if we went back to Isaiah, listen, I'm gonna read some of these fast. You don't have to flip if you want to. Isaiah 58:13, here's God's mindset. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, he says, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. He goes, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So he says, hey, there's nothing but blessings to come if you just do it God's way. And he's still talking about folks gathering together, right? We can even move up into the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says, so this is after the Lord's crucifixion and all, and Acts 2:42 says, and they, here's the disciples, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. They were meeting together, and they were worshiping the Lord, and they were carrying on just like the Lord instructed them to. Right? I even like this one right here, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles'. I like a doctrine. All right, that's leaving the house today. We can't just fellowship of brotherly love, church. Christians of something, love something. What is all that? You know? That's just a place where people gather to just, but the doctrine is out. Folks, if you're going to gather, you got to put the doctrine in there. Amen? So anyway, my point is this right here, folks, real quick. Point number one, God is very demanding. That makes it very, the idol's very appealing, because your idol's not going to demand the first thing from you. Not the first thing. Point number two. Idols, second thing I know about idols is they are ever so desirable. All right? Listen, they are ever so desirable. You will always be satisfied with your idol. All right? You will always be satisfied with your idol. They tell you, here's what it is. Okay, we know an idol is just dumb. That's what it is. All right? But I'll tell you, you want to know what they'll tell you? Knowing that they can't tell you anything, this is what they'll tell you. Your idol that you build up will tell you exactly what you tell it to tell you. That's kind of scary. That's pretty scary. But you will pull that off and you will go, yeah, my idol told me I didn't have to go tonight. Street preaching, I got a pass on that one. And, you know, I might come Sunday morning or, you know, we're at prayer meeting or whatever. I can just, my idol's, I even told my church when I pray, you built your idol to look like this. So whatever you ask it that's half-cocked outside of God's word, you're good. And you can look at it and go, oh. And folks, here's the deal. We laugh, and it is funny, but you believe that stuff. You believe that. They're twisted thinking back there when they built that golden calf. Oh, and here it is, and boom, and I know we've already been delivered from here, but this is what delivered us. You know? Folks, I tell you, it's crazy thinking, but I tell you what, we're people just like they're people. And you will believe that mess, all right? Stay in communication with your pastor, who will say, you're crazy. You got to get back to this right here, because your thinking is twisted, all right? But folks, listen, your idols, these idols that we built, they're very desirable, all right? Very desirable. Exodus 32. Read a couple verses here, and because this is just prior to what's going on in our portion of Scripture, but this is after they crossed over the sea, Exodus 32:17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that, what does it say? That sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf, and what? And dancing, right? And dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. We can't blame the guy. And he cast the tables out of his hands, and he broke them beneath the mount. So first of all, right here, according to Exodus 32:17, as Joshua and them are coming down, they're singing. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't sing when I'm not happy. Now, church is different. We come to church and we sing because we're supposed to. And you know, you stand there and sing. You better be careful when you sing in church too, by the way. Because you pick up that hymn book and you're proclaiming stuff out of that book and you're singing back to God, and you better be real careful what you're saying, and you don't even know what you're saying. because we nevertheless, we get people coming, they sing the words, but they're not real. Outside of that, people who are singing, listen, they're happy, right? People are happy. Why? Because idols are very desirable, right? And I told you that everybody's satisfied when you're serving your idols, all right? So far we have people that are singing and dancing, and I'm not gonna break off in a jig right now, but I tell you, dancing is, people are happy and singing and just giving a little shuffle, and that's what's going on. Why? Because their idols are desirable, doing them good right now, right? Back up to verse 5 of Exodus 32, it says, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and saw the calf there that they just built, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast of the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offering, excuse me, and peace offering. And here's what, and the people sat down to what? To eat and to drink and rose up to play. Why? Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's having a good time. Why? They're serving an idol and they're singing and dancing and rising up early. We can't get Christians to rise up early and do anything, much less any kind of worship. They were doing it here. And eating and drinking and what does it say? And rose up to play. Why? Everything's fine. They're serving the idol, no problem whatsoever. These idols are very desirable. Folks, I tell you, in Acts chapter 7, verse 41, when it tells the story there, it says, and they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol. And the word says, and rejoiced in the works of their hands. So we've got singing, we've got dancing, they're rising up to eat and to drink and rising up to play, and everybody's happy and they're rejoicing. Folks, I got to tell you what, your idols that you want to set up, they're very desirable. That's why you do it, right? I'm not saying right now that God is not, but I'll tell you what, if you're not real careful and you don't have a relationship with the Lord, your idols would be far more desirable than that, right? And here we see that they're very desirable. And I want to tell you this. This is what's going on right here, but let's back up to Exodus 15 to try to get the story as to, because right now they're singing, all right? That's what the Bible said. It says the noise of singing that I hear, all right? So they're down there singing away. Now they're singing to this idol, right? And I can't imagine what kind of a song that would be, all right? But let's just see what they were singing in Exodus chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. All right. Now I don't know the tune of it, but I might want to know what that tune was one day. I bet it sound pretty cool. But they said they were singing unto the Lord, and says and spake, saying, here's what they're singing. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. And he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father God, and I will exalt him. Says verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the sea, in the Red Sea. Says the depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. I like this in verse 8. It says, and with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, and the floods stood upright as a heap, and so on and so forth, and they destroyed the enemy. They said they were singing the blast of his nostrils. Now, I promise you this. The Lord didn't go part the water and go and breathe down with his nostrils to, you know, but they were recognizing God's power. And just with the breath of his nostril, he could just overcome their enemy. And folks, I tell you, it doesn't stop right there. Go all the way down through verse 20, 25. If you want to read when you get home, and they're singing away at how mighty God is and how he delivered them, and how with a blast of his nostrils, he swallowed up the enemy, and that's what they're singing. And then you got a few chapters later, they're singing a whole new song. Folks, what I'm trying to tell you is here this evening is, listen to me good. 1 year, you can be serving the Lord and be right on track and be right dead smack in the middle of his will. The very next year, you can be off serving idols and out in this world quicker than you can shake a stick. Listen. 1 month, you can be right where God wants you to be, doing exactly what he wants you to do. I mean, and him blessing your life and leading you along and you have sweet fellowship with him 1 month, and the next month, you can be off doing your own thing, following your own idols and getting yourself in trouble. The next month. Listen, one day, you can be serving the Lord, doing what he wants you to do, following, I mean, just right in the footsteps where he wants you to go and just doing what he wants you to do and just have sweet fellowship one day, and the next day, doing your own thing, following your own aisle. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. 1 minute, you can be doing what the Lord wants you to do, and the next minute, you can be doing what your idol's telling you to do. That's how fast that is. That's why the Bible constantly kind of tells us to examine ourselves. Constant, do an examination. When you get up in the morning, do an examination. You come to church, do an examination. This altar, I'm not promoting it every time the altar be full, but hey, this is a real good place to do some examination. And if you haven't been down to an altar in a long time, you need to come down to an altar whenever he's pretty, do whatever, and do some examination. Even if it's off topic, even if you didn't listen to what he said this morning, come down and do an examination. You know, and just keep in tune with God. Man, I tell you what, he can get you. 1 minute you can be doing this, 1 minute you can be doing that. And I'm telling you, that's just how quick that is. How quickly, if we're not careful, the tune can change. Their tune changed from this chapter to this chapter. Singing how mighty and powerful God was, then up with this calf and just singing and praising and eating and drinking and dancing and doing whatever they're doing to this idol. A few chapters later. Sunday morning singing, you can be... And I love these old-fashioned hymns. You sang just about all my favorite songs this morning. Some of those songs are so powerful. And if you're singing those songs, I hope you do. You just dive off into the words of the song. Praise the Lord a little bit or whatever. But sometimes people, I've seen some people, now listen, this is a rainy day message, remember? So I've created this for our church, not yours. So I've seen some people in our church and praise and just shut your eyes during like a special of some kind too, whatever, just during the music and you're just getting all emotional with that thing. And then all of a sudden the preacher gets up and starts preaching on the structure of the family and you're out. Just like that. We don't want to hear that stuff. You're starting to tell me what to do again. You know, I'm praising the Lord and I just got this feeling of, you know, I just get you careful with that stuff, you know, but 1 minute you're just being so full of, the singing and the what, and the next minute he starts to say, "Hey, your family's supposed to live." I'm like, well, I'm not doing that. You know, I'll decide. I'm the man of my house, and my wife needs to do it. If I need to, you know, if I need to carry on, you know, however, it's dead against God's word. You know it. You read it, and you know it's not right. But he starts. That's how I'm saying. 1 minute that. 1 minute that. And you've built an idol right there, just like that. Sunday morning service, and I like the crowd here, and I don't know what you guys normally have, but I know it's common for Sunday morning to be a little bigger than Sunday evening, right? It's common all over our countryside. Sunday morning, you have the crowd. I mean, they come and dress and look as good as I do, you know, and come walking in here and smile on their face and shaking hands. Hey, brother, good to see you. Yes, sir. Hey, good to see you. Good to see you, you know. Oh, Sunday morning, and that's all, and Sunday night, it's like, I got to work. 1 minute, the next. God said, be there. And even in the same day, you went, pfft. We know Sunday is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. That's 3 days to Wednesday night, right? So you come Sunday morning and Wednesday night, just 3 days later, you just surely can't. Wednesday night, that's the pitiful crowd. You just can't. I mean, Wednesday. I mean, come on. I mean, I got to work all week long and I can't come in the middle. But I noticed one thing that's funny. They cross the Red Sea, sing miraculously to the Lord and the power of his nostrils and all that whole song, till 3 days later. They weren't happy with God. They weren't happy with Moses. They were not satisfied how they were being treated and so on and so forth. And off they go. 3 days. And I wonder if some of you from Sunday to Wednesday, it's just... You know, we here, we love our King James Bibles, right? You guys can say, man, it's not a trick question. We love our King James Bible. And we out there on the streets, man, we street preach and we hold our Bible and we're like, it's a King James Bible too. you know? And you should feel the power of it when I hold it up there anyway, the car driving by. And we love our King James Bibles. And even in here, man, we got King James Bibles. And I like it. I say every bit of it. I'm like, oh, yeah, every bit of it. Get a hoorah in there, right? I like it. But we go from 1 minute to our King James Bible, and you're all praising the Lord with that, and being you're just being stabbed, and all of a sudden, until you start to read what it says, and we instantly go from yeah, hoorah, to ooh, ooh. And from 1 minute to the next, you're on God's side, and you're doing the next minute, it's like take a sidestep because there it goes again. I'm not living my life like that, folks. Do you see my point? How soon that is for you to be on track and then off track, all right? All I'm trying to get you is, I'm going to wrap this up one more little quick point here, but I'm just trying to get you to realize there were people just like you, and they had desires just like yours, and they wanted to be pleased just like you, and they wanted to be whatever just like you do today, right? And 1 minute, I get so mad at those people for when they built that. Are you kidding me? I'm so mad. And God said, what are you doing? So really the message came to me. And God wanted to get my attention because I'm not going to spell out to you what my problems are, but I got some things I need to work on. 1 minute I can be on God's side, and next side I can be serving an idol just like that. Last point, let's just see why these things are so desirable and so pleasing. So why we can't stick with God and why we got to flip over to this side right here, all right? So outside of the fact that they're so desirable, lastly, here's the deal. I think our idols, they are never damning. All right, your idol will not damn you. All right, I have never read one time in Scripture where it says, "And the idol said unto the people." I've never read that. I might be missing it. Somebody might come up to show me one later. But I've never read or heard that term where the idol, because I know as far as I'm the idol. That's what you get out of your idol, and you know it, right? But with that being the case, your idol's not going to come along and damn you, right? And we don't even like it when I say that word in just my point, to be damned, do we? We don't like that. My idol will never do that to me. My idol will not damn me. In our opening verse, one of the verses says, yea, one shall cry unto him, and here's what it says, yet he cannot answer, right? Listen, your idol has nothing to say. That's why we like it, by the way. But he says, yet can he not answer? But it also says, nor save him out of his trouble. I want you guys to remember that. You like the fact that your idol just says what you want it to. Hey, idol, what do you think I'm trying? That's all you get. And you like that, and you buy that, right? But just remember, at the same time, it can't save you out of your troubles. But your idol, idols are never damning. Folks, and I tell you what, there's something about that element that we just like. You know, we get even clear back into Genesis chapter 3, the serpent said, and right? So we know the serpent, he's got plenty to say, right? We see portions of Scripture where Satan answered and on with it. We get that in Scripture, right? Has a lot to say. We get God said and so forth. And you get that a lot. Just pull up on your computer and you'll get verses of all that, right? But idols have nothing to say, therefore they cannot damn your actions. Because you and I both know, if you're a human being and you have flesh like mine, you have some actions that are damnable. No, you should not be doing that. You know better than that. Or you should be doing it and you know you're not doing it. You should be doing it. You know better than that. Right? And God come along and damn your actions. Amen? But your idol, you don't get that from him. And that's very... Like when you know you're doing something wrong, you come in, all of a sudden, now he preaches right on the top. You're just, we don't like that. Why do you have to preach that today? You know? Because you don't want to hear anything about, you're going in a direction, you don't want nothing to change that. Your idol won't change that. Your idol will not damn your actions. But God, on the other hand. And you know what? You're sitting out there right now going, what's he fixing to say? Your idol won't damn your actions, but God, he will. And we come so far from God sometimes to go, you have to show me some Scripture on that, because I don't think God is love, right? Like preacher said this morning, if you think that's all he is, folks, you're in trouble. Because you don't even like, your flesh is not even like the mindset of this point that I'm fixing to get into, the fact that God might damn something that you got going on. I'm thankful that God is love, and I really am. But like I said, if you think that's all he is, folks, you need to watch out. All right, you need to watch out. God is a holy, righteous God, and will damn your very soul into hell. He will. God is serious. And sometimes we don't like serious. Your idol is not serious. That's what you get. You're like, oh, okay, and I'm good. You just want to be happy and singing and dancing and eating and drinking and rejoicing. Okay, I'm good. But you come check by God sometime, you might say, hey, you know it when he does it. He'll check your attitude, and he'll check your motives, and he'll check your direction, he'll check your relationship, and you don't like that. Listen, folks, I'm glad he does it, and I don't like it, but I still sit under it and still hope he does it again because I just need to be checked, right? But God will damn your very actions, folks. I'm going to read a couple verses. I'm going to turn it back over to the preacher, but 2 Thessalonians 2:12 says it like this right here. It says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. He says, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, I got to tell you, this damnation not only comes to the unjust, but it comes to the just just the same. All right, God will get real serious with you. And that real serious relationship that we have with God, and he's not playing around with you and your desires and your whims and whatever. And we don't like that. We want God to just go, oh, I know you've had a hard day. Hey, just stay home this evening. Oh, they're street preaching, but there's a sign. You guys got a big bunch of folks going on the streets. There's plenty of them. They'll be fine. And you know, come on. And you want God to do that stuff with you. When God's going, what are you talking about? Get your fat backside down on the streets. And he might even talk to you just like that. Well, I don't like that. He didn't have to call me fat. But folks, he will damn your actions. I know when we get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, and this is just a good portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29 says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh, what does it say? The word you don't like to hear. Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Now, hopefully, we're talking to a bunch of believers, right? Partaking in the Lord's Supper, right? That's not this world that's going by. That's you and I. And he said, if you're not going to do this right, you're going to eat and drink damnation. Because why? Because God will bring damnation onto you. That's why. Your idol won't. That's why you like it. But God will bring it to you. He says, for the eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. He says, for this cause, many are, here's the damnation, many are weak. And I don't know, listen, might be spiritually weak, might be physically weak. I don't know. He just said weak. He says, many are weak, many are sickly. You might be spiritually sick. You might be physically sick. I don't know. I'm leaning on the physical side, if you ask me. Because this last one is nothing but physical. It says, many sleep. And that's not like what you guys do in church. That's like dead. Why? Because God brought damnation onto you. Hey, you know what? You did this in an unworthy manner, and I've already told you twice. Matter of fact, I've told you 10 times, or as long as I've told you 35 times, 35 years worth of however long you say. Hey, that's a long time. He's told you and told you and told you. But you still, I just want to do it my way. Is that okay, idol? Sometimes you can see your idol do this right here. Just because you're seeing stuff. Amen? Point being this right here, folks. We don't like to hear that, do you? Why is it those idols are so quick to be, well, the Lord's got all, and it's just so quick to just jump over here. It's because stuff like this right here. Your idol is not going to damn you and say, hey, you should have, or why? That's all you get. Sad thing is, we like it. So the idol in our lives is the perfect fit. It's the perfect fit. I can't get mad at these folks back here because I tell you what, it's the perfect fit. If I'm not real careful in my life when I do a little evaluation, I'm kind of, ooh, I could kind of like that. I could kind of get used to that. I can kind of get used to setting up me an idol. I mean, just give me some jewel real quick, and we'll concoct something here real quick, and we'll get a lighter going on. There you go. Oh, just like that. But it's going to be a whole lot easier than this. That's why it's so appealing. Folks, that's just why we got to be so careful. I want to say one thing as I close. One thing you'll have to know And I'm going to talk to mom and dads in here maybe. Maybe I'm going to talk to dads here just for half a second. One thing you need to know, Dad, about these idols in our lives, all right? Now, you guys do know that dad is supposed to be the head of the home. You guys still believe that? I mean, you know, things are changing so fast in our world today. I don't know. It's going to start creeping into our Bible-believing churches that dad's not the head of the home anymore. But as far as I know, out of God's word, dad is the head of the home. He's responsible for his whole family. He's responsible for his wife. He's responsible for his kids. And you know, I love about this church. He'll come in here and kids running all over the place. I had a conversation with our church last week. I said, listen, can we just keep the kids? They're running all over the place. I love it, right? But I had to make a, I said, listen, can we keep the kids off the stage? Because it's just, and you're out there trying to talk and your stage is like mine. And I was laughing because whoever was playing the piano here earlier, there was a little girl running up and just, you know, in the back. And blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I just love it. Somebody got more problems like we got. But I love the little kids running around in the church. It just thrills my soul. I really do. Had to make one rule, keep them off the stage. But Dad, you're responsible for that wife you have and for the young kids that are running all over the church. Dad, you're responsible. And sometimes dads will think, well, if I slip away from God's word just a little bit and I start to set up my own idol, because I like it, right? It serves me better, right? It's just not quite as demanding as God's word to me. So I'll kind of slip over here just a little bit. You seem to think that you're the only one that's going to pay for that. And each individual in here will say the same thing, that you're the only one who will pay for that. So if I'm not quite living like that, well, I mean, it's just going to get me if it gets me, but it's just me, and it's bigger than you. Everything you do affects everybody around you, right? Even this whole church. It'll affect the church as a whole, right? But I'm going to show you something here real quick. So it will not only cost you dearly, but it'll cost your whole family the price. And we're in Exodus 32, verse 2. It says, when Aaron, all of a sudden he's starting to gather the jewels, it says, and Aaron said unto them, I'm assuming he was talking to the men, because back in this day, it was probably the men that were being the men and heading things up, and Aaron was having a conversation with the men, and he tells them, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your who? Wives. Of your who? Sons. And of your who? Daughters. And bring them unto me. And folks, I need to tell you this as I close. The whole family had to pay the price. The whole family had to pay the price, because you would rather serve an idol than to stick to God's word and stick to his demands and his whatever and his requests and do whatever. You'd rather go serve an idol somewhere. But I got to tell you what, you do that, that's your business. But you can't just do that and think it's just going to affect you only. It's going to affect your whole family. And your whole family is going to pay for that. They had to get the earrings from the wives, and she paid. They had to get the earrings from the sons, which I don't even know why he's wearing an earring, but he paid. And get the earrings from the daughter, and look, and they all paid the price. And folks, I got to tell you, it's a whole lot bigger than just you. But folks, I want to encourage you here. Listen, we are just like they are. And I got mad in Scripture when I was reading, and God was consciously through the whole Old Testament trying to get folks to stop serving idols and just to let him be their God. And I'm encouraging you to do the same thing this evening. Let God be your guide. Let him be give you direction. Let him counsel you. Let him spank you. Let him do whatever he wants to you. You're going to be way better off than following this idol who can just please your every move, but at the end of it, it's not going to do a thing for you. And one day you're going to need something from God. If you haven't already, you know there's going to be a day come where you're going to need something from God. And you're going to need to run to him at the last minute and go, God, I tell you what, and he can answer, because the idol can't say a word. So, folks, I'm going to turn it over to your preacher. Let him close as he sees fit.